everybody. Time. Welcome to the improv warm-up exercise we call Ballin' Out.
Good times.
I'm your host for the evening, Alex Patak, and today I have spicy mouth. I'm joined with my two contributors to the show, Jeremy Hammond.
I hate soccer now.
And Christmas KRL herself, Katie Rose Leon.
Ho, 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 everybody.
Christmas, how's your week?
Oh, it's been pretty good. It's been a million degrees out, so I've not been wearing underwear and just hoping life's okay.
Has that cooled you down at all?
It's stopped me from getting a yeast infection, so.
We have easily four listeners who really relate to that.
I was about to say, this is relatable content for our listeners, men, ages 15 to
17. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I don't do well in these temperatures, so there's going to be a stretch here where the content is going to get a little bit slovenly.
I would like to give an apology to my podcast co-host for how belligerent and shouty over other people I was last episode. I pulled a real Alex.
I thought you were acting a bit like an Alex there. And no one likes that. Not one person. Any anime updates on you guys? I've been down in Food Wars. I'm like 8 episodes into Food Wars. Yeah.
The listeners at home won't know this yet, but we did record an episode where Max Ogle and I watched Food Wars with Alex, and that'll come out at some point when there's not Dragon Ball Super to watch.
If you give a man a Lima-rita, does he not fish? For more content like that, wait for the Food Wars episode.
On that topic, I have been watching another food-related anime because I accidentally signed up for a Crunchyroll subscription when I thought I was going to be able to watch Dragon Ball Super on it.
How do you accidentally sign up to a Crunchyroll subscription?
Well, I did the free week, and then I just didn't
But
stop.
Crunchyroll, it's all free except for the last episode.
Is that true?
That's how they get you.
It used to be that way. I think they changed it.
Did they just change it?
They might have just changed it.
Okay.
I don't know. In any event, I'm paying for Crunchyroll now, so I'm trying to watch more anime. And I've been watching this show, Isekai Izakaya.
What's it about?
It is. It's the weirdest show I've ever seen, I think, because it opens every episode by saying, "We're just a regular Japanese restaurant with one strange thing about us. Our door opens into a parallel universe." But then the parallel universe is not interesting at all. No, this parallel universe is just medieval Germany.
And It's always Germany.
It's always Germany. So weird.
Yeah. What's with the weird fascination with, like, post-war European society? There's a lot of that. I love this. I watch a lot of garbage anime, clearly. There's this one called Oran High School Host Club, which is about a very rich private school in which there is a host club of young rich men that entertain the ladies, but the whole school is like Baroque themed.
Finally, a club for someone like me.
Like, everyone's dresses are like giant hoop skirts, and like everyone's hair is, I guess, like Lolita, right? That's like Baroque themed. It's very bizarre.
I don't know. It's.
I have a theory out of nowhere on this.
Go on, then.
Completely unfounded. I think all the Japanese animes are about post-war Germany or pre-war Germany because it's the closest narrative experience to the Japanese experience of World War II of diving into fascism and getting wrecked.
Get wrecked.
So it's like. It's like when you have a friend who's like, "I have a friend who's doing anal and got poop on themselves." You don't really have that friend. That's just a story about you. You made about someone else.
Also, yeah, of course you got poop on yourself, sweetie. That's just what you signed up for.
That's poop's house.
You gotta wash that house out.
Yeah. Or just be okay with poop. It's okay.
Yeah.
Grow
I don't
up.
Who said that?
Tell your friend Alex to grow the fuck up.
You don't go to a party at Poop's house and then get mad when Poop shows up.
If you are interested in this topic, we have several anime to recommend.
Anyways, the point is that this show the door opens into medieval Germany, and then every time the door opens, a medieval German comes in, and they're just like, wow, this food is great. We don't have food like this in medieval Germany. End of show.
All we have is salt and despair.
That's the crazy. Whole show. Does it make you hungry?
No, it makes me really relaxed.
It makes me horny. I don't know why.
It's just like a weirdly tedious show where just people come in and then you watch the guy cook and then they're like, this is really good.
I get like very lusty after anime food. Like if I watch too much food on anime, I get hungry as hell. And if I don't eat like ramen or something like little boiled meats immediately, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind.
Have you seen Food Wars, Katie?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they come in their pants.
I'm the one watching Food Wars. Well, like, because you really sold me at the coming in the pants, but then it moves on to this whole other weeb-ass-filled universe that has so much more to offer.
Yeah. I love any... I really like the archetype of animes where it's like, we're a school that teaches hyper-specific interests.
Only 10% of students graduate because we don't live under capitalism for some reason.
Right, like
there's magic school where we get the money from the emperor.
There's My Hero Academia. There's that one where they do gambling. Have you seen that one? Where they're in school and then they're like, my special ability is playing poker. Like roulette. It's fucking nuts. I forget what it's called. It's on Netflix.
It's called When Yugi Has a Hard Time.
It's called Yo-Yo Degenerate High School. Is there any
by
like...
selling my mother's television, I've gained my trap card.
There must be a show about like a high school for fucking better, right?
Oh, definitely. That's at least
it's
a manga
called
series.
That school for fucking better.
What I just
my want... dick you.
my dick.
You only use oral entrance exams and to get into my dick, you.
The one funny thing I wanted to talk about from Food Wars that we can move on is I've just gotten to the character. I don't remember her name, but her whole thing is she's American and a slut.
Oh, that's Meat Me Too.
Meat Me Too, and she's obsessed with meat, but she licks her face all the time for no reason, and her boobs... like also talk in addition to her mouth.
I love when anime depicts what they think like American culture
is
like.
Best.
So there's this I watch a lot of girly ass anime. There's this really great one called Nana, which is about female friendship and has a really upsetting ending. Anyway, there's this
Grave of the Nana.
So it's about two girls. They're both named Nana and they're both friends, and one of them has a shitty boyfriend. Like he's not like terrible, he's just kind of whack. And they go to a hotel together and he wants to bone her, but she's like, I can't do that unless I hear that you love me. Ooh. And he does a speech where he goes, I can say I love you. I can do it. I will pretend I'm an American and it can express my feelings.
Oh, no.
My name's Tom and I can do it. Like the stereotype is that American men are too free with their feelings, which is insane to me because I've yet to meet one.
Wow. I feel like I'm too free with my feelings and that they're triggering me with this show.
Anyway.
Should we move on to The Dark Passenger?
I think it's time for The Dark Passenger, a weekly segment, The Dark Passenger. I'm a great host. Let's do it.
Beep, beep, all aboard.
Okay, so this week in my my continued deep dive into the right wing of anime fandom, my search has led me back to returnofkings.com.
Great, great quality content.
Home base.
Fun fact on the car, I took a lift over here and my driver had to take a right onto Kingsland Avenue. He goes, Kingsland Avenue, you think any queens are over there?
Oh boy.
I'm a lonely driver and I'm taking this girl home.
Then I was like, I date many men and none of them are you. Anyway. Go
okay,
on.
So from returnofkings.com.
He's just like holding a ring towards you with the backseat.
This article is called A Guide for Getting Laid at Anime Conventions.
Woo!
Oh, I needed a guide.
From Red Pillar, 1985.
Jeremy told me he was going to read this to us ahead of time, and my first reaction is so many cosplayers I know are ace, so I was like, good luck with that, bub.
What's ace?
That means when you're not interested in sex.
They're not looking for some ace?
Like... Boo Earns. Boo, boo, boo.
Is that what it means?
It's a spectrum of people that fall under different things, but mostly what they usually have in common is they have very low to no sex drive.
Right.
Okay, so this begins with our author giving us sort of like an overhead description of what anime is and also what an anime convention is, which he describes as, take a comic book convention, but with the premise of Asiatic pop culture.
What? Yeah, I'm at my spice rack. Throw some Asiatic on there. Let's make this a convention.
I picked the Oriental flavor on my ramen.
So strange. So foreign.
Just fast, quick, real fast. I love how, once again, Return of Kings is acting like they don't know what anime is.
Oh, yeah. So he goes on to say, the average convention goer is most likely the reverse of what you expect from a nerd convention.
No, it's not.
The skinny, lanky nerd and his buddy, the obese man-child, are still going to conventions, but a whole new breed of people is into anime.
And the racism begins.
This new breed is young, attractive women with mental issues.
Whoa!
Not what I was expecting, but still very good.
Also, young, attractive women with mental issues have always been into all nerd stuff. You just didn't see them because they were goth.
They're technically everywhere because they keep wandering into places.
This is an incorrect statement, but he says women have jumped on the anime bandwagon. Who knew there was a bandwagon? Says, most of them joined because they're the second tier of attractive women. They can't compete with the front runners because of a flaw or two. They might have the body, but the nose is way too big.
Wow, that's anti-Semitic as hell.
That's a very specific critique. Yeah, I can't help but feel...
Yeah, I feel a little attacked. Fuck you, dude.
There's a lot of layers to this.
These women would be considered bargain bin to regular society. However, to anime-loving nerds, these are the nines and tens for the anime world.
Also, like, have you seen professional cosplayers, dude? Get real. Those are, like, pin-up weirdos. Like, get out of here.
Hey, I was rooting around society's bargain bin... There's a lot to fuck in here.
It's so funny. The Return of Kings perspective on women, one of the things I always think is very funny is how trapped in an idea of what an attractive woman is to them. Because, like, to them, I would be a very unattractive person, which is hilarious to me because, like, I'm hot as hell. Most of those women would be relieved to know that they are considered bargain bin by this dude. It's like, all right, Jeff. Like,
you know, whoever's writing this is a grade A catch as well.
Oh, you think Red Pillar 1985 is hot?
He's got the backwards hat. He's got abs from only eating red pills.
Yeah, all those girls are like, notice me, Red Pill Sama.
So he says, I have decoded the code for an alpha guy to go to these conventions and make the second string duchess bow down to your manliness. He suggests that we go to events focusing on Lolita, which he describes as a subculture of Japanese fashion relating to a mixture of British Victorian fashion and Japanese fashion. Most women in this subculture are thin because Japanese companies don't cater to land whales.
That's true.
And
they cater to people.
These clothes are also extremely expensive, usually meaning that these women have a rich daddy or a male sponsor.
He's really misinterpreting what that community is, because first of all, I've seen women of many figure types in it, and second of all, most of them make their own clothes, and third of all, a lot of them, once again, are not interested in dicks. They're gay or ace because it's hyper feminine.
This definitely is the kind of guy who walks into a lesbian bar and is like, oh, I found the treasure trove of broads.
There's so many women and not a man in sight.
Now to be dominant. I'm being picked up off the ground.
Okay, I'm gonna finish this up and then we'll move on because we're taking too long here.
I'm having fun, though.
The one thing he warns about is convention security.
Oh, there's a very good personal essay behind this, waiting to get out.
He describes convention security as a cheap excuse for the convention community to not hire actual staff. These are white knights with power. While you're trying to score pussy based on game...
the purpose of the convention.
These men tend to try to use their minuscule authority to try to score. If they can't score, they'll use any method to white knight possible, including following around the hot cosplayers trying to show you their authority.
Yeah, it's like clearly he was trying to upskirt or something and got yelled at. These weebs want to bang other weebs. They want like some like hot guy dressed up as Spike Spiegel to come whisk them off their feet. They don't want just some rando Chad in like a open shirt from Express.
Spike Spiegel's a Chad.
Yeah.
Although he does kind of look like the Virgin drawing.
He does.
He kind of looks, he has the hands in the pockets and he's like slumped over, but he knows karate. It's very hot
it's
in
so
here.
Hot. I'm not built for this.
Wait, so how does this end?
Oh, this ends. Oh, this is his.
Does he have a wife now?
He's got a little wrap up here for after the convention is over. He says the convention has ended and you're on your way back. You were able to get some notches, but feminists have taken notice. They're writing articles like this about quote consent, which he links to a Jezebel article about cosplayers. The undesirables of society, a.k.a. fat chicks, man children, ugly women, are trying to keep anime conventions in the domain of blue pillars. Anime conventions will always try to shut out us red pillars, but if we start to invade and remain stealth about it, they can't do anything.
Security thinks I'm another one of these weebs, but I have my claws out. Meow, meow, meow.
Man, these guys are so... I feel sad for them for a way, because like they think they can be stealth when they're like so fucking transparent.
Yeah.
It's just like... Have you ever... I guess you guys... I have been like talked to by these dudes because I spent a lot of time in my career behind a comic book store counter. And it's
right.
Like... A line I get a lot, I used to get was like, what's the worst that can happen? And when it doesn't work the first time, they keep saying it. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work like that. No, I already said no. But can
also,
you
there's a long list of the worst that can happen.
Yeah, murder is one that comes to mind. Anyway, are you going to buy this fucking X-Force comic or not? Because...
I don't know that he's directly saying this, but it kind of sounds like he thinks he personally is starting the conversation about consent by slaying so much puss at Jersey Anime Expo. They've caught on to my techniques.
It's also just so creepy because like the people most susceptible would be 15-year-old girls to this.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I just like...
I mean, there's a reason why it's how to get laid at anime conventions and not how to get laid at, like, a small business owner's convention.
Yeah, we can chide and look down our noses, but the fine journalists at Return of Kings are doing some great on-the-ground research. They're in the field for all of these stories in a way I really appreciate.
That's true.
All right, should we get into the episode?
Let's-a-go.
The title of this episode is Goku versus Legic.
All right.
I did think it was going to be Goku versus Logic.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be
his
like
own Logic.
It was going to be like one of those weird Twitter hate nerds like coming and just be like, oh, I'm sorry, but this debate is not logical, Goku. Have you no reason, sir?
One might ascertain if Goku is of a smaller stature and that throws off his instantaneous transmission, that Super Saiyan would be far out of the question.
We're just doing Jordan Peterson now.
So you see, historically, Gokus have
the Gokus. They're confident men. You know, they stand with their shoulders back. They have clean bedrooms.
They'll hop on a cloud and zoom all over the place, and you won't be able to catch them.
Woo!
Alternatively, it could be Goku versus Logic the Rapper, which would be a great Rick and Morty episode. Okay, so at the beginning of our episode, we remember that Goku, Trunks, and Pan are all on the most wanted list for being naughty crime boys and girls and stealing their ships back from the king. They went in and they did a beam and they stole their ship back. And that made the powers that be deeply unsettled. And so now they're public enemy number one, and the public is afraid of them.
Yeah, and they're jumping around rooftops, and okay. the guys are all
I was
guns.
Screaming during that, because I'm just like, you literally can fly.
Yeah, you can fly.
It's established in the first episode of this show that you can fly.
Yeah.
Why are we Superman jumping?
They're Scooby-Doo running away from the law. They get caught. An old couple lets them hide in their house. And they just have the worst accents I've ever seen
in
any cartoon.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Goku, you must hide under the couch.
What was it? Was it Eastern European? Was it Italian? What the fuck was it?
It was all over the place. The old woman was just like, it in one sentence would go from like Eastern European, yeah, to Italian, to then just like regular Brooklyn lady, like all over the place.
We'll
and then the man
survive
was just Master Roshi.
Because Soviet Russia... It's a me. It was so confusing.
We sure are glad you're here, mates.
So then this is the scene where they chat with these old people and they explain like the rules of Imeca to them.
Yes, rule number one. So although this seems like it's in the past and everyone lives in a shack, everyone has spaceships and the government says they're illegal.
Yeah, and they say it as...
They're in a big garage somewhere.
This is Don Key's way of keeping us here. Like, it's like a cute little quirk of his and not, like, literally how you would keep people on a planet.
They also said, we're slaves, and then go right away and say, well, not literally, but with taxes.
Yeah.
Like, I keep going back and forth, and I can't tell if this is, like, a rail against capitalism or a libertarian wet dream.
It's many metaphors all happening at once.
Well, I think it makes sense, because it is against capitalism, but these old people represent the white working class who have bought into the capitalist lie. So they themselves are saying, like, we're fucked up because of high taxes, but then at the end of the episode... they're liberated when Pan gives them free rent.
Right. They get these tremendous public accomplishments at the end of the episode. But at what cost? You're still essentially living under feudalism under Don Key. That's why you have to have clear ideology going in. Pan. I don't know who that's for. I'm still very stuck on the idea of Don Key having a 32-car garage of spaceships.
Yeah.
Like he's Jerry Seinfeld.
This is forgettable antagonists in spaceships getting coffee.
Oh, man, that's good. So they decide, of course, spaceships being illegal is a... It's a bridge too far, and they have to do something besides just steal their ship back. So they get arrested on purpose, which does seem like they could have done it last episode, and none of this needed to happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because we know that they're invincible and no karate, space karate that could blow everything up.
Agreed. So immediately they get dragged in and fuck everybody up.
There's no more Oprah and Gail because. They get murdered off screen. I think they're supposed to be unconscious, but the way their eyes are moving is kind of like they look dead.
They look really dead.
Their necks are at an angle that's inadvisable. Like Goku bashed their heads together and their spines cracked.
I like how a lot of death happens off scene. I think about the opening title sequence where that ostrich eats that Dragon Ball. I'm like, oh, they definitely like just punched through its chest and ripped that out.
No sympathy for fascists, Grandpa. And also, besides the fact that he has all these robots and like little henchmen, it does seem weird that Don Key only hired like three real guards.
Especially
like,
where
two Danny DeVito odd couple people and then a literal demon from hell.
Who has no allegiance to him.
And he's just like... free form counting money in stacks.
Yeah.
There's like no security.
Well, that's
he's
that's...
like having a real Scarface moment where he's just like, you know, piling all up around him and blowing it out.
That's what we see him doing. We come into him and he's counting his stack of money, saying to himself, I have so much money, I'll never be able to spend it all. But like, because of all the shit that we've heard from all these aliens, we know he's had all this money for a long time. So that means that he's just spending all of his free time just sitting there counting money, saying, I'll never be able to spend it.
If he spends it, he won't be able to count it anymore, Jeremy. It wouldn't make sense. So obviously Don Key, he's gonna get the knuckle sandwich right here. So Pan runs at him and he traps her in his shock trap, where a light comes out of the floor and electrocutes her generically for a long time. And then, in a very important twist, 1,000 guns come out of the ceiling and shoot her, and they go, "Oh, right, bullets don't work on characters in Dragon Ball Z." Yeah. That would be stupid.
That was nice that they remembered that. And then, what's his name? Legion?
Yeah, Legic comes up. But I feel like it's worth really emphasizing, in this one way, GT is better than Super, because at least they're consistent about how guns work.
Yeah, I Am Legion comes out, and he's like, "This guns will not work on them." And they're like, "Oh."
So Legic shows up and he talks about how he loves to fight, and then Trunks goes to punch him and he gets punched in his tum and bounces off the ceiling like when someone throws a bowling ball wrong and bounces him back. Really disappointed at the power arc for Trunks.
I was noting when I watched this, I was like, I really do not like how cucked out Trunks has been so far this GT, but he's been partying. He's probably been doing like a lot of coke.
I feel like he's the one who snapped Gail's neck though.
Yeah, he just
he's frustrated. Like, I think, yeah, Trunks is the darkest one there. Like, a lot of his achievements are happening off camera, because every time it happens, Goku and Pan are like, "Yikes, you don't want to talk about that with a therapist or anything?" Yeah. And he's like, "I saw my family die, and now I push paper."
So Goku's obviously like, "Oh, we've cucked out Trunks. I will fight you, Demon Man." And so he starts fighting Legic. Legic is sick. He's got missiles in his arms and swords in his shoulder.
And a cool demon tail and a onesie. And, by the way, when I saw the title of this episode, I assumed they wouldn't actually fight in Dragon Ball fashion, where they would just talk the whole episode and then act like they were going to fight and go to the next episode. Pretty sick they actually fought.
They just did it.
Yeah. It reminded me of Deborah. I feel like when Deborah showed up, they started fighting him right away, and they were like, "Hey, he's got a sword, and he turns you to stone. It's Dragon Ball, baby." And this reminded me a lot of that. And then Legic is like, "Stop hiding your true power. I'm the fucking devil." And Goku turns Super Saiyan and ends that fight real quick. He punches him so many different ways.
He beams him.
He gets him with a beam. There's some good beams this episode.
There are some cool beams.
Legic fight was good.
We got a little, Legic has like little missile beams. There's just a straight up kamehameha. He goes Tiny Super Saiyan. That was real cute. Look at that little Super Saiyan.
I like Tiny Super Saiyan. I also liked that they kept it so it wasn't really close. Like, once Goku goes Super Saiyan, it's not close anymore. It's not as confusing as some of the fights in Super, where you're like, I don't know how strong anyone is anymore.
I also thought it was really funny they were punching him in and out of a building, and then Donkey's like, "Stop ruining my house!" I'm surprised like more people aren't like that more often in Dragon Ball, where they're like, "Hey, man, like, I just paid off that car. Like, fuck you, dude.
My spaceship garage!" So Legic is owned and he loves it, and then immediately Goku, Trunks, and Pan are all like, "This guy's cool because he only cares about fighting like us."
Yeah.
Not to mention, if he was stronger, he would have killed us all. We'll let him go.
It was classic Goku shit where he's like, "I can't wait to fight you again someday." And he's like, "Me too." Smile calmly.
It's great fighting. And then he kicks Don Key in the stomach. Because he loves money, which is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is a victory for all peoples. And so Don Key's like, "I'll give you whatever I want." And then Pan has a very specific request where she's like, tenant rights!
Abolish rent.
What a specific fix to that problem. What a very specific... Not to mention they leave right after.
Yeah, they're like, "No need to instill any policies." And like... The whole time they kept talking this like prime directive game, and I'm like, you essentially just like Iraq war the fuck out of this. Like, you showed up, did something, and you're like, "Yeah, you guys figure it out. See you later."
We thought Don Key was bad until Space ISIS came.
Mamma mia.
Norwegian at the end.
It's a flawless impression of a terrible accent. Okay, and so they get their free spaceship back, and Pan is going to grind Giro into the dust for no reason because she's a fucking psychopath.
To be fair, I mean, Giro's a robot, and I was also like, fuck that robot. And then all of a sudden, Trunks out of left field is like, I have learned to empathize with androids, where I'm like, ironic, Trunks.
That android will be a senator one day.
He's like, it has sentience. It follows. Like, was that like sci-fi rule for like sentient shit? Do you know what
yeah,
I'm talking about?
I know
about?
What you're talking about. The
hey,
rules
nerds.
Of robotics or whatever.
Can one of you guys fucking obnoxiously post that to Jeremy's email, not mine?
But they keep Giro around because Misa knows where the Dragon Balls are. And just like we guessed, they are not on the planet, but they are nearby. And so they get to keep Giro around. We get to have some fun with Giro for the rest of the
here's
show.
A question. If Bulma's the richest woman in the world, owns Caps, of course, just Tony Starking the fuck out. Why is there only one Dragon Ball monitor?
Yeah, she could have made a few by now.
She, was like,
invented
why would
when
you
she
need...
was like 13.
Why would you need one on the ship? You have the little one. Just take one little one into space. That's like real classic mom talk, though. I feel like it kind of works out narratively. So that was the episode. Some good fisties in that one.
That was good. Ooh, fisties punchies. Nice. I was less irritated by it than normal.
Yeah.
Less Imekians got to talk than last episode, which was what pissed us off. Because they're pieces of shit. Okay, so let's rate and review here. Jeremy, out of 7 Dragon Balls.
Good.
Black Star Dragon Balls.
Good fisties, good beams. I'm giving it 5 out of 7.
Ooh, that's a pretty high score, Katie.
I'm going to give it 4 out of 7. I don't think it was like amazing, but I think the fight... The second half of it was really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
The first half, I'm like, whatever.
No, but, it's dumb as hell.
But I was less annoyed than normal because they actually fought in the fight ended in the same episode, which is like unheard of.
Yeah. Never happened.
No one was like powering up for like 10 minutes and then the show's over, which I'm sure we have to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. I personally give this episode 4 Black Star Dragon Balls. Love the use of unconventional weapons with a spear, 2 swords, rockets, and all kinds of other flippity doos, but also the fact it took 3 episodes to get here, I'm not looking kindly on, and the whole story was a bunch of bullshit. These are magic fly around people. They don't have to walk anywhere. And that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, all that right. Jumping was bullshit. I literally was screaming.
Oh, Katie, we forgot to do Katie's Corner again. Do you just have a shout-out to something? An idea?
Shout-out to fucking crop tops. I'm very hot out. I noted that Pan would have an easy outfit to cosplay if you want to catch a predator, one of these Return of Kings guys. Just, you know, go just be like, I'm just a baby 15-year-old at this anime convention and wait for him to come up and ruin his life. Katie's right. Corner, 9/11, never forget.
I look like a target, but really, I'm working on my article about consent.
Gotcha.
All right, gotcha journalism. That's another of the episodes, babies. We're done. It's so fucking hot. All right, on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Good times.
See you on Super.
Crank that AC.